He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin. This is Car Keys.
Yes, and speaking of headlines around the world in the automotive industry, one of the ones I think I want to start off with, since Jay and I have had some discussion on show and off about self-driving technology over the months and maybe years. The headline says, autonomous vehicle companies and suppliers have collectively spent about $75 billion developing self-driving technology with scant sign of meaning revenue emerging from AV services after all that investment. My comment before I let Jay comment is that I don't see autonomous driving becoming a normal way of driving for people in the general driving world in the near or distant future. I see too many technical problems that I don't think the computers can override and make it totally safe. I, for one, have been on record in this show saying I will never let a car drive me down the road without my hands and eyes on the wheel and road. I can't see it ever being so reliable that you could actually do what early purveyors of this technology said could happen, which was you could take your hands off the wheel and read a book or watch a movie and get there from A to B safely. Jay?
We've been flying airplanes in with autopilot for decades now, and it is the safest way to fly airplanes. And I know that's not a good argument per se, but I think your experience with driving is no offense, somewhat limited, and you're privileged to be driving on very nice, windy roads out in the country. But, you know, most of the people in this country and in the rest of the world live in far more congested areas and far more specific and purpose-built highways, modern highways. And I do think that there is a place for autonomous driving, and we've seen that, and I know we've gone back and forth with that for a few years now, but I do see that it you know in traffic conditions it is helpful, and there's no fun in driving at crawling speeds in traffic, and if you live in and around a major city and you spend an hour of your time or 2 hours of your time during a day behind the wheel. You know, the fun of driving has faded away a long time ago, and I think autonomous driving can be useful and can be safe.
What is the definition? I'm sorry. What is the definition of autonomous? Are we talking semi-autonomous?
Well, and there are very, 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 you know, and this gets very complex because there are very different stages of autonomous driving, and we're at the very beginning of autonomous driving, and the self-driving features we have in cars now don't meet any of the regulations that will be in place in the next decade or so to allow for full autonomous driving. And
okay, I'm going to step in here. I agree, Jay, with your theories. I don't, and I agree that there are areas within the autonomous driving attempted culture where it could be very useful, and I do not ascribe that to cruising on interstate driving situations, where you might disagree and say that's probably a better place for it to happen because it's sort of like the airline self-flying situation, which, yes, we know is going on all the time. Problem I have with it is, even in congested areas, is, and this is directly related to a recent event that happened, Jay, while you were still in Europe, to my wife who got hit by a driver coming at her in her lane, and fortunately it was not a head-on collision, maybe because she was not autonomous driving, not that she could have been, but wasn't, and had her eyes on the road and saw the event happening, unfolding before her, to her horror, and it did not end in a successful evasive maneuver because there wasn't space on the side of the road to which she tried to get to avoid a collision of any kind, proceedingly got hit. And we don't know whether the driver of the other car was asleep, was on his phone, was distracted some way or other, but he certainly wasn't self-driving an autonomous car because it was a 67 Corvette that hit her. This kind of thing is going to happen because there are so many older cars on the road that the computers won't be in these backup older cars. They're going to be on the roads for decades to come after self-driving vehicles theoretically hit the road and are sought by many who are ascribing to the theory that autonomous driving is a safer way to drive.
So let me barge in again here and say I agree with you. It's not happening overnight. It's going to take decades.
That's right. Well, that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it's never going to happen. I won't be around. You may not be around.
Well, you might not be around. I hope to be around because I hope to live a few more decades. But also, and I do see a major problem, and the problem is already, we see this problem now already, is that cars are getting more and more complex, and drivers are just don't know how to operate them. And self-driving and autonomous driving features are going to be complicated. And again, in the airline industry, you need to be instrument rated to fly an airplane on instruments. And I think until we have that kind of licensing requirements in cars, we're not going to move forward very much. Cars are getting very, very complicated. People today buy cars that they have no idea of 90% of the features that the car is capable has.
That's correct.
And whether it's, you know,
and they don't want to know it.
And you're right. They don't want to know it. So it's kind of a waste of technology. And
yes.
And there I
okay.
agree with you.
We can move on when you're ready, Jay.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. The next topic I will cover, and then I'm going to let Jay cover because he's got a lot to say probably since he's been away for a while. Is another article from AAA which says the most common car maintenance mistake according to your mechanic. And I read through it, and it's not too interesting to go into in depth, but one of them was, there were several areas. One of them was maintaining the correct pressure in your tires year-round as opposed to setting it and forgetting it from season to season, at least when in a part of the country where there are seasons and temperature changes, which drastically can affect tire pressures one way or the other. And the other thing was to make sure that the fluids in your car were in visible ranges so you knew that there was fluid in the area of the vehicle. This is for fossil-fueled cars, but it also goes to windshield washer fluid containers, brake fluid containers, levels, radiator fluid levels, and the like. The long and the short of it is nobody spends much time looking at their cars between the time they may take it regularly to a mechanic for an oil change or whatever. But cars, as Jay and we both say, have more and more technology to help us remember these kinds of things, including too many lights on the dashboard that light up every time you turn the ignition on before the car starts, and you never can see how many lights there are there and count them before they go off, and the next thing you know, one light comes on, and it's very hard to decide just exactly what that light is telling you. So those are two topics for listeners who wanted to listen to these two topics. And
well, how are they going to know?
A update on things that you have learned while you've been away in the car industry, if any.
Well, I haven't done a lot of driving, to be honest. I was overseas.
True.
And just basically, you know, again and again, every time I come back, I talk about this a little bit. The driving experience is somewhat different. It's a lot more, I would say, regulated in Europe, at least where I was. But also enforcement is a lot more
it's stricter,
not only
it?
Strict but fair. And I'm thinking of speed cameras that are, you know, now speed cameras in Belgium, for instance, they have signs, you know, a half a mile or a quarter mile before, I would say 80% of the speed trap saying, hey, there is a speed trap ahead. And again, if you get caught, and I did, by the way, you know, you're obviously not paying attention. You're just like daydreaming. If you get caught driving on the road that you do like two or three times a day, which happened to me, and get nailed by a radar for excessive speed, you know, it's a wake up call. You're not fully committed to doing what you should be doing, which is driving the car. Other than that, as far as cars, yeah, we know that, you know, the European cars are smaller. They also have a lot of electric cars, a lot of hybrid cars, a lot of very expensive hybrid and electric cars, a lot of Porsche Taycans. And I think that is mostly a result of tax incentives for electric and hybrids. And in most of Europe, they tax cars based on power output, and cars get very expensive very quickly in their yearly tax bills, and there, you know, there's a lot of slack being cut to people driving electric and hybrid. So a lot of Porsche Taycans, electric, Mercedes EQSs and Audi e-trons and the like.
Are the taxes based on the power output of the engines, or are they based on the fact that the cars are going to go faster and are more recklessly available to create trouble?
I don't know exactly what it is now. I mean, historically, it's been based on power output, and the thresholds are pretty low. I mean, we're talking 200 horsepower, 220 horsepower. That may have changed in the last few years. I haven't paid much attention, but you know, in this country, most cars make over 200 horsepower. They also weigh a lot more than they used to, so you need that extra power. But there's still a huge deterrent to powerful cars, and even cars that we see here, like BMWs and Mercedes and the Audis. You see a lot of them in Europe, but with smaller engines, just less powerful engines.
But with the electric part of the powertrain, the power ratings are still way up there, regardless of whether they're just all battery.
Well, the thing is, it's just the incentive is okay. There is no taxes or very little tax on anything electric or hybrid, and what we have here, but it's applied differently. Here, you get a tax break when you purchase the vehicle, electric vehicles anyway, and there it is on the yearly tax you pay. So, you know, the way it's applied is different, but there is still a huge tax incentive. And I know you're not favorable to tax incentives to promote
sales.
Electric vehicles.
I'm not. Yes, I'm not. That's correct.
But,
and I don't think that really. I mean. It's a nice talking point. People say, oh, I got an electric car and I got a $7,500 credit or something like that. But that's really not why they bought the electric car. And when you get into the depth of the conversation, you get into the reality of the fact that they are fossil fuel free. And especially since we've been going through high gas prices for a while in the last several months, it's been a big talking point because they just smile knowingly as they go by gas stations and don't have to fill their car with gasoline. It's not that they get a $7,500 in one case, you know, one-time break type of situation, which goes away.
And also,
yes, it's a nice thing to be able to say you get $7,500 back, but that's not the reason people are buying electric cars, in my opinion.
But also you've also got the driving situation, which actually goes back to what you were discussing in terms of autonomous. Like, if you live in a place where you can easily plug your car in and not need it, you're in great shape.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
We have other problems looming on the horizon with the electric car industry and that is components for the batteries. And that's making headlines as well. I won't go into it because it's not really listener interest.
You don't have to go into it.
Prices of batteries are going up, though. And as are the prices of the fossil fuel cars. So we've long since lost the end of the average price of new cars in the country being in the 30s. It's now in the 40s. And I don't know how long it might be before it's in the 50s.
Well, that's great. I think it'll be kind of a little bit like real estate. Now, yeah. But the other way. What I want to go back to, however, is that 2+ years ago, we did a show where Jay's daughter was quite aware of the ravages that battery production creates. Forget costs, okay? So all of these people who are driving by gas stations feeling quite sanctimonious should be aware that the mining
yeah,
of these.
We've got that environmental situation, which is a talking point for
it's not a talking
part
point.
Part of the population in this country. There's no simple way to produce a vehicle that isn't going to have some negative consequence in the production
era.
And
Robin, you don't have to go down to mining mines to find
right.
Situations of child labor. Hyundai was fined and is under scrutiny now in Alabama for using child labor in their factories. I know this is totally unrelated, but I'm just...
Yes, it is. I don't think we need to belabor
belabor it. No, but I wasn't honestly
and
looking at...
We weren't
at
talking about child labor either.
Well, that's okay. It's a conversation that should be had, but separately. Jay, it wasn't the child labor aspect. It's the environmental... You know, there's a huge level of... whatever you want to call it, but we can call it also sanctimony about, you know, how much better it is. And so it's those people that are driving around feeling great that should find out what the production of their batteries is actually doing to the environmental cost. That's all. Just, you know, it's everything is risk-reward ratio.
Correct. I agree.
Moving on, Robin, now that we've...
Somebody spotted a lightning pickup in the northwest corner. I have not seen it yet. The industry is realizing that the electric pickup truck industry is going to be good, I think, in general, for people who do not overload their pickups with too much load factor rating, unless if they're going to be driving more than 100 miles a day on a daily basis, because so far the battery technology has not gained enough ground to be able to allow the manufacturers to tell you that a pickup getting 220 miles to 250 miles range empty will get the same mileage loaded. And GM's got a new Denali coming out, which their advertisement shows a Denali apparently lugging 6,000 pounds. And then they say the range is 400 miles, but it doesn't connect that 400-mile range to the loaded Denali, I'm sure. And tests are showing
this,
that there is no major
loaded,
range
less
factor.
Range, whether it's battery-powered or diesel-powered or gas-powered, and we all know that. And, you know, but I
right.
am, yeah, I think Ford is pleased. I didn't see the split of, the proportion of F-150 Lightnings in the overall
sales
of Ford vehicles. You know, alongside the Mach-E and the Transit van, I know is a very, very small number of vehicles.
Well, it's a production constraint right now anyway, so those lines.
Ford's EV sales are up, despite overall sales being down. So, you know, and they're gathering ground, and I do think that GM is going to do well with their pickup truck. And I also... think that Tesla is going to see their first big flop with their Cybertruck. I predict it'll never see the.
I agree with you, Jay. I think there'll be the usual quirky buyers that want to have one for maybe something like Jay Leno will put one in his garage. But whether or not you're going to see them driving around and serving useful pickup truck usefulness purposes, I don't know. It certainly doesn't attract me at all. In its design, other than to sit there and sort of, joke about its design? I don't know. And I don't know whether it's ever going to come out with bulletproof glass, listeners. That was one of the big things that flopped on the first presentation of the truck on the stage when somebody shot something at the window and it broke.
I thought it was a rock.
Anyways.
All right, well.
Was that
a chief selling point?
Was that a selling point?
Yes.
Well, it's an interest level point, that's for sure.
I see.
A bulletproof truck without having built a bulletproof vehicle, you don't need it.
You think? Okay. What else? We've got, we're in safety tip time, Jay.
Well, safety tips are always the same, but that we can be reminded of them. You know, keep your eyes peeled. We're going into fall, change of, it's getting wet outside again. You know, it's time to look at the tire situation.
Well, we also have much earlier darkness and much later lightness on the, each side of a day now. So let me tell you, when you see these people running in the morning
in black
fitness and gray outfits or non-reflective clothing,
on,
it's terrible.
Or Ford, just put your lights on because there's no auto lights on most of those.
Well,
even
Jay, while you were away, I ranted about that. I drove down Route 8 the other day, listeners. Again, I'll repeat it. There were more than a half a dozen cars without rear or front lights on as it was getting darker and darker. And it was also raining hard. And let me tell you, Jay, that is not fun, trying to see through glass with raindrops on it and see a lurking image of something coming down the fast lane with you without any lights on,
so
when you've got a lot of headlights on other vehicles in the same lane. You cannot see it.
And I'm just going to throw in, because this happens, and I don't know, I'm just baffled by the lack of apparent environmental awareness, but at two different occasions over the weekend, I saw runners. It didn't matter where they were, but they were, they were literally invisible.
That's true.
And
unfortunately, runners don't listen to our program.
We don't know
that. But this has been going on for decades. It's not going to change. So that's why we as drivers have to be ultra alert and look for all the problems that are not in the cars that we're driving, but outside coming at us or going, you know, wherever they're going.
Okay, so let's talk about the ultra alert then for the last 2 minutes.
The what alert?
Ultra alert. If we as drivers have to be ultra alert, then we've got a massive problem because...
Yeah, you have your hands on the wheel, you have your eyes on the road, you do not do anything that takes your eyes off the road, and you make sure you've got your lights on the vehicle you're driving, and that you're not speeding dangerously if you're going at a clip that exceeds the posted speed limit on the road you're on. That's my four items.
And Jay?
I think we've said it all. I mean,
I think we've said it all.
I just wondered what Jay's four items were, since he goes a little faster.
What?
Same. Okay. He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.